Are you connected?
Hello and welcome to Are You Connected? It's episode number 64. Today is July the 9th, 2013. And today I have Lois with me, Lois Smethurst. Hello, Lois, how are you?
I'm good, thanks, Jen, but I think you might still be having jet lag because it's actually July the 10th.
Oh, is it? I thought I did so well at that.
You did really well, except it's the 10th. But it is holidays and all the days just run into one, so that's okay.
Oh, God, I tried so hard to get it all right. Well, that's a good start.
We'll forgive you. We understand, you know, you've been a long way away and a lot of air time there, so wouldn't be surprised if there's still a bit of jet lag hanging around.
Oh, well, maybe in a week's time I'll be fine. It seems to be when you get home it's worse than when you get there.
I agree. The coming home is often much harder to recover than the getting there. I guess it's the excitement of being somewhere new, and when you get home you think, oh, yeah, okay.
When you get there, you just put up with it and you keep going.
Well, you don't want to miss anything, do you?
That's right. You haven't got time to be sleeping all day or something. Right. You just get up and you go with it.
But you do feel, I agree, you do feel much worse when you come home. Maybe it's because you've done it twice and your body's said, that's enough now.
Could be, couldn't it? Yeah.
So tell us about your trip, Jenny. Where did you go?
Well, I went over to the UK and I also went to Paris.
For a quick visit.
I guess my UK was my school tours. If you followed it on Twitter and had a hashtag, UK Ed Travels.
Yep.
UK Ed Travels. I must have a storify of it, actually, so I can get it all together. And I visited seven different schools.
Seven schools. Yep. Gee whiz.
Seven schools. Yep. And went to four conferences.
Oh, my goodness. That's not a holiday. That's work.
It was 2 weeks of solid work, really. And yep. I reckon I would have met close to 30 different people from my Twitter PLN.
Oh, that'd be the nice part about it. That'd be fantastic.
Yeah. So it was great putting lots of faces to Twitter names. So they're all very...
Can you tell us a bit about some of the schools? Like, what are the highlights of your school visits?
My school visits, the other good thing about the trip was that I actually teamed up with Henrietta Miller.
Yes.
And we drove around the countryside together and visited some of these schools together.
Oh, that's nice.
And Henrietta was very interested in looking at things about blogging, and so was I. So we covered both her looking at blogging and me looking at ICT as well as blogging.
And we
managed to see some different things at different schools. So we went to Heathfield Primary School and saw some great blogging there.
Right.
Charisse Duxbury. But I've got that wrong. And they were doing some great blogging, and it was interesting because they used the blog and the teacher put on a picture for a stimulus.
Yes, yeah.
An Australian picture.
Oh, really? They know you were coming.
Yes, they knew I was coming for the blogging, and the kids had to put comments on it and tell what they thought, what they knew about Australia. So it was interesting to see what they wrote about Australia. They haven't done work on it or anything.
Right.
So it was. They wrote things they knew about Australia, and some of them asked me some things, and then wrote down on their blog. So the comments. So the blog was used for a writing stimulus, which was another good use of a blog.
Well, it is, isn't it? I mean, there's so many different ways you can use a blog.
Yeah.
I mean, you can use it where it's like the reflective practice, or where it's actually your teaching tool, where you know you do put stimulus, or you do require the kids to reply or comment, or great way. So are they looking for blogging partners? Did you line up some blogging partners?
They were involved in some quad blogging.
Oh, yes.
Because a few of their schools were involved in quad blogging with David Mitchell, Deputy Mitchell on Twitter, who I also met, and actually went to his school where he is now because he's moved schools from where he was.
Right.
It's actually up at Caton Community School. So I went to Caton Community School, which is up near Lancaster.
Yeah.
Lovely little school. And had a nice visit there and look around the place, which was nice.
So you're suggesting that we might have to join the quad blogging if we want buddies.
I think quad blogging is a great idea. See how you go with joining up there.
So we'll put a link. Is there a quad blogging site? Like there's a spot.
There is, There is a quad blogging link. We'll put that on our notes, the quad blogging link.
Yeah.
I also went to Meredith Primary School, which is a new school that's been built. Saw some lovely new schools with new buildings, which were very nice.
They're all government schools, Jen.
I think so.
Yeah.
They have about four different types of schools over there.
Yeah.
So they're all different sorts and blends and whatever.
Yeah.
Meredith's school, they were had a some iPads that they just got.
Right.
And they were making movies about World War II and the bombing.
Oh, really?
The bombings in the UK. Yeah. So the kids were doing reenactments and making up films about the bombings, and it was all really interesting. Right. So I got to see some of those.
Yeah.
And they were pretty keen on that. I went and saw Darren Murphy in London. Oh, he is at a school. He's at a school called The Hall, and it's a private school.
Yes.
Yes, it was a private school. And checked in on his IT lesson he was doing with the boys.
Right. So and, secondary school? Is that a secondary one?
No, it was primary. His okay. level where he was doing primary, okay. I think, yep. And they were doing some web creating.
Oh.
Which was interesting. They had an interesting thing, though, at their school, The Hall.
Yeah.
Something that's becoming more and more popular is, and you can do it with your network somehow, it's called a single login.
Oh, yes.
You only have to log in once, and then every site you go to, you're automatically logged into with passwords and things.
Yeah.
How would that be?
Well, I think I've seen that. I think Google offers something like that, don't they?
I don't know. This was through the school network, so you're logged onto it. Onto their management system, and then it must have everything recorded, and then you didn't have to put any more passwords and usernames in. So if you went to Mathletics or wherever,
it's like an overarching program, perhaps. I don't know.
That's very very good. Single login. It's called single login.
Well, that'd be great for kids, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Then I also went to High Lawn, and actually High Lawn was where Cherise Duxbury was.
This is a school?
Yeah, that was where Cherise was with the blogging. It was High Lawn.
Mm-hmm.
Heathfield was actually where they had the 4D projector.
Oh, 4D projector?
A 4D projector in this room. It was worth £25,000.
Ouch.
They must have got it through some grant.
Yeah.
And they used it for writing stimulus. Can you imagine that?
Is that like the... those TV shows where they create this 3D image in the middle of a thing and they talk about the bones and the body and the image, you know, when they're doing those.
Well, I wish I could tell you what it was like, but it was like this big thing on the ceiling that looked like it would revolve around or something with pretty coloured lights and a projector and thing on it.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't work properly.
Oh, no.
She tried to show it to us it wouldn't work. Had a malfunction of some sort, so we didn't actually get it to go. I don't know how it's 4D. Maybe the floor shakes or something. I don't know, but it was this special room that was made for it and everything. So
4D.
Yeah.
4D is hard to imagine because what? Anyway, let's not go.
I mentioned Caton Community School, didn't I, with David Mitchell?
Yes.
And a lovely teacher there called Jo, who let me sit in her room, and they were doing some writing. And then I also went to see at the Cedars. In London, which is Mary Farmer's school, and had a day there shadowing Mary, which was great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Saw lots of usual. You know how you like to go to school and see usual things, like what happens at your school.
Yeah.
And it was really good to see all those sort of things and to look at their organisational things they've got on their wall and displays. Because over there in the UK, every teacher has an assistant. You know.
Yeah, but they have larger classes too, don't they?
Teacher's assistant, though, and you go in and you just look at all the displays, and you know what the assistants do a lot of, the displays, so it was always beautiful displays.
It's a different way of funding, isn't it?
It is, and I helped Mary with two of her lessons.
Right.
And we, with the boys there and girls, we did their first lesson of using Tocker Builders.
Okay.
And Tocker Builders is an app that you go into, a little bit like Minecraft sort of, and you go in there and there are six different little tool guys that you can use, and each different one does a different sort of building.
Right.
One paints, one puts blocks, and they have different things that they can do, and then the kids can build things with them like in Minecraft.
Yeah, so it's a thinking problem-solving type app.
So you can set them tasks and do all sorts of things like that in it.
Nice.
So it's really interesting. And her grade were so focused, it wasn't funny.
Yeah.
And we gave them certain tasks to do. And she said she hadn't seen them like that for quite some time because they're not an easy grade. She works at a special ed school.
Yeah, oh, okay.
And they were all spellbound by it. So
it's great.
Then it was, she was going to get them to actually think of what tasks they could set, which is interesting.
Yeah. So
rather than the teacher setting tasks. And once they knew how the little different robots worked,
yes.
I don't know if you call them robots or workers or what they're called, those things, then they could just say, well, a challenge could be to build this or that in there.
Yeah, so they could challenge each other.
And you can take screenshots.
Yep.
Got a camera in there that lets you take a screenshot of it. So you don't actually have to do your home button and that sort of thing. There's actually a camera on the screen that you just click on and it takes a screenshot. So you can take screenshots and write stories about it and all sorts of things.
How things are going. And
you could take pictures and put it in Book Creator and add some audio with it.
For your reflections. I think that would be really worthwhile.
Yeah, so had a lovely time visiting the schools, and then as well as that I went to 4 different conferences.
Yes, then that's a lot of conferences. In 2 weeks or 1 week? Or
2 weeks I did the 7 schools and the 4 conferences.
Okay. All right.
The first conference I went to was B-Mobile in Bradford.
Yes, so that'd be right up
which
your
is alley. North of London. Yes, I went to B-Mobile there and had some great sessions.
1 day conference.
A 1 day conference, sort of like a mini conference, I suppose, isn't it? Yeah. 1 day conference.
Yep.
And that was really interesting to see what they were talking about. They've got a whole lot of problems with their department and their governments and all that sort of thing, the same as us, and a lot of changes in their ICT in the schools and what's in their curriculum.
Well,
and they're now doing more computing. They're doing computing.
Yes.
Subject.
Is that a bit like
programming and all that sort of thing?
Mm-hmm. A bit like where we're heading, perhaps.
And I went to a teach meet.
Oh, good.
I went to a teach meet after that. They had a teach meet after it.
Yes.
They had all curries to eat, which was nice. At the teach meet.
Yes.
One of the teachers at the teach meet did this great presentation on cardboard boxes.
Right.
And all the things. And the kids had made all sorts of things out of the cardboard boxes and everything.
So he threw away the computers and kept the cardboard boxes.
No, it was construction of all things. It's to do with the, you know, the maker movement.
Yes.
All to do with that. The maker movement and making things and creating things.
So it'd be our design technology.
Yeah.
It'd be the equivalent to that. So their teach meet wasn't just IT, like in, computer technology. It was technology in general.
No, it was mainly all IT. But she'd done all IT things with that, you see.
Right.
So, you know, so they'd taken photos and made into a movie and you know, all that sort of thing.
Okay.
And the next day I went to the Create Ed conference at the Barbican in London. That was with a host of different people from all different sorts of walks of life, from music to app development to entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a very interesting day of people talking about getting kids to create and think differently in schools.
Yeah.
So that was interesting. And then the day after that I went to the Education Festival, which was at Wellington College, a very private school.
Oh.
Very upper class primary school.
Yeah.
And I felt like I was in Harry Potter in some of the places at that school. Very nice school. And went to some great sessions. Like one was with one of the co-founders of the Raspberry Pi.
Oh, yes. One of my students was talking about that. One of my students is so excited.
Facebook actually ran a whole lot of sessions for – it was a two-day conference, but I only went one day. And Facebook over there are pitching at schools.
Yes. Well, and
I got a nice booklet from Facebook and for schools, mainly, I guess, focusing in the secondary schools.
Well, I think there's quite a bit going on in the primary schools on Facebook at the moment too. There's a lot of schools that are developing a Facebook page as their communication with parents.
Yes, well, that's right. Well, I think this was more with students as well.
Yeah.
And it's quite a good booklet though because it's got about 3 different case studies of where it's been used in the UK.
Yeah.
Then it has a guide on how you can use it and different ways to implement it in your school.
I think after a while you have to stop battling the waves and just go with it.
And well, that's right. And if it's where people are looking, it's going to be where they see things and communicate, isn't it?
That's where you. That's where you're going to see your message or your communication or respond to it, and you're going to get a lot of hits. Then that's what you should do, I think.
And the last conference I went to was the West England ICT conference in Bristol. And Dawn Halibone did the keynote speech at the start, which was great. Lord Jim Knight did a keynote. A really good keynote about ICT in schools and things. Dawn had a great movie, a YouTube movie at the start of hers, which was, remember Video Killed the Radio Star? That song? Well, it was done to that, a remake of that with new words to it. So I'll put the link. It's on YouTube. I'll put the link on our website. It's quite a fun video to watch. And she had a good talk about using ICT in the schools. I went to a session on Scratch, which was great, in that it wasn't how do you use Scratch and, you know, use the building blocks and everything, but it was different approaches to using Scratch in your classroom. And I liked that.
So give me an example.
Well, whether to open-endedly let the kids just go with it and what can you find out about in this program, whether you set certain challenges, whether you do a mix of open learning and challenges. And they had about five different models.
Yeah, because it is interesting because Scratch is there's a steep learning curve if you haven't used it before, I think.
But yeah, if you haven't done any programming or anything. So I liked the – I liked the look of the different ways of using it.
Yeah, I think
usually you go and they don't usually talk about that sort of thing.
No, that's right. And I think that would be useful for people who want to get into it because they'd understand then perhaps how they could get a better approach it themselves.
Yeah, I think so. So that was a great session. And I met some other of my peeps at that conference as well. So four conferences and I was all conferenced out.
You would have to be exhausted, Jenny. it sounds like a very exhausting trip.
So I was over it by 2 weeks, so I had a little sightseeing trip to Paris.
Oh, that's a good idea.
And
isn't it just so close? We miss out on that closeness of just being able to pop over to Paris, don't we?
Yeah, I went to the Apple store in Paris, so that was very nice.
Oh, did you?
Among other things, because I like to visit Apple stores around the world.
And did you bring something home?
I didn't buy anything in the Paris store. I did look very closely at the MacBook Air, though.
Oh, they do look nice, don't they?
Yeah, I'm sort of swaying towards one, especially when you travel and you've got this need. You know, I took my laptop, but hardly used it.
I wouldn't take my laptop. I don't think it's too hard.
It's too heavy.
Yes, I would buy an Air just to take for the trip.
And then if you've got somewhere where you can put it, it's all right.
You know,
When
they get the Air, so it's got a swipe screen, it'll be perfect.
Oh, okay. Are you accidentally doing that, swiping on the screen of your laptop?
I haven't done it lately, but
I've done it on the netbooks at school a bit because I'll be helping someone with an iPad, and the next minute a kid will come along with a netbook, and they'll laugh.
The Air is like that perfect size. It's like an iPad size. It's got a little keyboard. It's lovely and light. But, you know, it'd be nice to have the swiping of the screen like you do on your iPad. It's hard to say. Maybe an Air and an iPad mini would be the way to go.
And Lois, you've been busy with your radio show.
Very busy with radio show, but that's nothing new there. It's a big commitment. But I've been busy building a Google site because I've been doing radio show for 8 years. But each year there's new teachers and new students to radio show, and so there's all this accumulated knowledge. And I have to keep trying to transfer it quickly to the new teacher, and they've got 5 weeks to learn radio show. So it's a great way to kids can fill in Google forms, and I've worked out, you know, on a Google form it says that you can resubmit your answers, and I thought, how do you do that? But all you have to do is copy the link at the bottom before you close it off completely. It says you can resubmit your answers. If you right-click on that, you get a link to that form. So if you copy that link and paste it somewhere, then you can resubmit that form as you go. So I've put them in the spreadsheet with the results of the form. I've put the link back to the Google form so the kids can open it again and fill in their form as they go. So it's like it builds up. It's got calendars on it. It's got examples of lessons. It's got assessment pieces. So I think, so I've been using Google Sites quite a lot for that.
Got lots.
And the other thing about Google Sites is you can set up a site for the whole school to use, but you can have permissions where the kids get on some pages and staff get on other pages. So you can have work for the staff and work for the kids separately. So that's mostly what my radio show has been about, trying to, you know, curate all the different sections of it so it's in one place and so that people can add to it as they go now instead of it sort of being lost each time.
And I found something for you at one of my conferences.
You did. You found a site for me called the School Radio Calendar. And it's a collection of other radio shows done by schools. And so I've linked up there and put my name into that. So that hopefully we'll get, well, it'll be a resource for us for a start because our kids will be able to hear different student shows. But ours will act in the same way and we'll be able to share our show.
It'll be interesting to see how many hits you get.
It will be. It looks like it's only just beginning, really.
That's with Russell Prue.
Yeah, that's right.
A guy called Russell Prue. And he's quite a character.
Is he?
Yeah, he did one of the keynotes and was great to listen to.
Oh, so you tweeted that link to me, so I made good work of it and joined up there.
Well done. He actually sells like radio equipment. Little radio stations with all the equipment and stuff. I'm looking at it thinking, oh, you probably Lois would like this.
Yes, I would. I did.
And I'm looking at it thinking, wonder what that does.
I did look at that. I thought, oh, there's some nice stuff there. Which, you know, you can never have enough stuff.
And another little bit of equipment that I found at that same conference was called an Apple TV Pro.
Right.
And it's, you know, the connector you need to convert VGA to HDMI?
Yes.
So it's called an Apple TV Pro and you can get it on the internet.
Oh, okay.
So not very expensive.
They're hard to find.
Yes, it's black, the same as the Apple TV.
Oh.
Very nice little gadget.
Okay.
And not very expensive, where I've looked at some that are massively expensive.
Did you bring one home or did you?
No, they didn't have any to sale, sell on the day and the shop wasn't near and all that sort of thing. I couldn't fit that into my schedule.
Oh.
That Apple TV Pro is actually available on the Apple website from the Apple Store.
Is it?
Yeah.
For the cheap price that you were talking about?
Well, it's $59.99, I think.
Oh, okay.
$59.95 in the shop.
So VGA to HDMI.
Yeah, it's called a KNX ATV Pro, HDMI to VGA adapter with audio support. So some of these things you'll get will convert it, but then you don't have the audio. So it's $59.95. So if you've got an old projector that don't have HDMI on.
Yes, that's what it's for, old projectors.
Plug that into your Apple TV and then just plug into your VGA connection that you might have on your whiteboard. Then you don't have to run more cables around everywhere.
That's right.
Trying to get your Apple TV up to your projector. If you want to go Apple TV way.
Yeah. So, Jen, you were talking about Scratch before. We've been doing a bit of Scratch this term too. And have you? I think you may have noticed, but the Scratch website, the Scratch site now is online. So it's Scratch 2.0. So the kids can actually work online. So they don't, their work isn't attached to a computer anymore up in the clouds.
Yeah.
And the nice thing about that, there's two really nice things about that, is that all your kids' work can be in one space.
Yeah.
And it's accessible from anywhere, from home, from school, without swapping around.
That'd be great.
You get a nice little embed code now to embed the projects on your blogs, whereas before it was such a rigmarole because you couldn't actually upload from school because of the proxies and then you had to get a special little thing to transfer it so you could embed it. And but now it's just an embed code. So that's good. Our kids have been working on some maths extension projects, which are still not quite finished. But I think because it's more available now, it'll open up a lot more students and teachers to using it.
Hmm.
A lot more ideas.
Yeah.
So I like that.
That'll be good, won't it?
Yeah. Configurator, Apple Configurator's had a big update as well.
And have you looked at it?
Yes, I have. I've downloaded and used
it. What did you find out?
Well, you know how you get that yellow triangle sometimes when you're busy updating your iPads and it says that it couldn't install the app?
Yeah.
Well, now you can actually undo the arrow and get a message and it tells you which app and things like that. It actually gives you, which is good because you go, before you had no idea. You had to guess which app it was that wouldn't work.
Yeah.
So it, and it has beeps. When there's a little beep now when things are finished. So, you know, which is good.
So and if you're multitasking, you can see.
Yeah. Just a few things that look slightly different. I'm still having trouble with stability and I'm not sure whether it's me or it, but
yeah,
still find it's crashing a lot. And one of the updates was supposed to be to improve the stability.
Oh, okay.
So, but that might be just me.
Yeah. And your apps of the day?
I've got a few apps of the day that I don't normally have, but because I'm doing a bit of a big upgrade, I've found, Barefoot World Atlas was advertised quite widely on Twitter, and that's a really nice, it's just an information app. It's about the world. It has a three-dimensional sort of globe of the world, and you click on different parts, and it'll tell you about parts of that world. So that's nice for kids.
Yeah, and it's free.
It's free. At the moment, it's free. It was quite expensive, I think. It was one of the more expensive apps, and Apple have put it out free at the moment.
It's for the 5 years anniversary of the App Store.
That's right. I knew it was some reason. And another one I've found is called Sketches, and that's a beautiful little drawing app with nice different calligraphy pens and pencils. That's free.
Mm-hmm.
Tinkerbox. Have you heard of Tinkerbox, Jen? Do you remember the old Thinking Things software where the kids had all different little puzzles and games they could create? And it reminds me of that. Tinkerbox is like physics-type problems where you've got to get the ball into the cup by going through these different obstacles and arranging them so that it all drops the right way and things like that.
I like setting up those. You push a button and then the whole thing goes and ends up doing something.
That's right.
You know, they take 4 weeks to set it up and then someone accidentally knocks something and the whole thing goes off.
Yeah, well, it's not quite. But so Tinkerbox is one of those and that's free, so that's lovely. I'll put that in my my new folder that's on computing apps, so that goes in there.
Yeah.
The Artist, I don't think I've mentioned this, but The Artist is a digital storybook because you know how hard it is to get digital books that are free. It's a lovely story about an artist, and as he draws things, he draws the sea, then the sea disappears and goes onto his painting, and all different things happen, and so it has a scenario. But so that's a lovely one. And the last one I'll mention is Wi-Fi Photo. I don't think I've mentioned this, but Wi-Fi Photo is a great way to get photos from your iPad onto your computer if you need to.
Yeah, without using PhotoStream.
That's right. You just open up Wi-Fi Photo and it gives you an IP address, and you type that IP address into your computer, and then you can see your photos or your photo albums, and you can transfer them and they just drop into your downloads box.
So it's an app?
It's an app and it's free.
And then you don't need the app on your computer?
No, no, you don't. It's really, it's worked quite well.
Do they spell photo with a PH or with an F?
Yes, with a PH. Two words. Wi-Fi, W-I-F-I. Some
apps different, don't they?
Yeah, they do. So there's just a little collection of free apps that are worth sharing, I think. In your app, Jen, was your...
Mine was my Tocker Builders app that I've probably already talked about, so I don't need to talk about that again.
No.
And that was a paid app, though. It's $1.99.
Yeah, they're not very dear, are they?
But it's, you get it on BPP and it'll be half price. But it's another great creative app, building which we like to get, don't we?
Yeah.
Well, we do.
Yeah, so I think, have we covered everything for today, Jen?
I think we might have said, well, and surely enough.
I think we might have.
It is the holidays, Lois, remember? It's we're on holidays.
It is, and it's lovely to have you back. Well, it's a bit quiet without you while you're away, but we'll catch up on Friday when we go to a tweet meet in Melbourne.
We will. We're going down to a tweet meet to meet Joe Dale, so that'll be nice to meet Joe.
Yeah, to see he's back in Australia. He's been busy. He's been Queensland, Sydney, all around Canberra. The place. He's working his way around the country, I think.
He is, isn't he? Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks to all our listeners for listening today, and we'll see you next time on Are You Connected?
Thanks, everyone. Goodbye.
Bye.